Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends on this Friday. What happens in your soul when you see the black clouds beginning to gather and the wind start bending the trees around you and maybe the rain start pelting down on you? Do you get excited knowing you're about to experience a powerful lightning and thunder demonstration of God's power? Do you close windows and doors and maybe take cover? And what would such an event look like if it was a spiritual storm rather than a rainstorm? Join me again back in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago in Acts chapter 5 in the Bible. Yesterday, we watched a shocking event as Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, were actually struck dead by God as they brought a large financial gift to help the needy in Jerusalem. In fact, Acts 5 verse 11 tells us, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. If you missed that dramatic event, you might want to go back and listen to Walking with Jesus yesterday. In the shadow of that stunning event, the Acts 5 record tells us the Great Awakening, which was spreading through Jerusalem and surrounding towns and villages, continued with great momentum as more and more men and women believed in the Lord Jesus and were added to their number. Acts 5 verse 14. Now, if these followers of Jesus were estimated to be 3,000 who were baptized in Acts chapter 2, and then a few days later 5,000 men in Acts chapter 4 verse 4, how many do you suppose this movement might include by the time you reach Acts chapter 5, verse 14? Had it doubled or tripled in size? May I ask you, what's the largest church you've ever been part of? Some of you men might remember the Promise Keepers movement of the 80s and 90s when large crowds of 80,000 men would gather in stadiums for worship events. In Acts chapter 5, this phenomenon was more than worship events. Acts 5, verse 12 reports, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Now I have some important questions for us to consider today. What was happening here? What power were these apostles using to heal sick people and drive out demons? How similar or different was this from what Jesus had been doing? And are such things happening today? Do you remember resurrected Jesus had promised his disciples while they were together in the upper room before his crucifixion? Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. John 14, verse 12. As you remember, Jesus had promised that after he arrived in heaven with his Father, Jesus would then send the Holy Spirit to fill his followers, John 15, verse 26. That, of course, was their life-changing experience that Pentecost day when the Holy Spirit came with wind and fire and anointed them, Acts chapter 2. But Jesus had also promised the Holy Spirit would come upon them with great power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This power was not only the miracle of speaking the gospel in languages they did not know, it was also a Holy Spirit courageous power to stand boldly and speak God's truth when threatened by the religious leaders who had tortured and called for Jesus' death. And as we saw in Acts 3, when Peter called a crippled man to stand and walk, and now here in Acts 5, it is clear this Holy Spirit upon the apostles was very similar to how the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus. Sick and crippled people were miraculously healed, and demon-possessed people set free. How is that possible? And what does it mean for them then and for you and me today? I have three important concepts for us to consider as explanation. First, these apostles were unique among all other people because they had been the men Jesus had personally selected to spend many months with Jesus, watching and listening, learning, and being profoundly impacted by Jesus' life, miracles, and teachings. They were the men Jesus then commissioned to spend the rest of their lives telling Jesus' story and making disciples of others by teaching them to know Jesus as they knew Jesus. Acts chapter 1, Matthew chapter 28. Second, Jesus had told these men that he would empower them to do many of the same miraculous things he had been doing so that as they proclaimed the truth they had learned from Jesus, their words would be validated as truthful by the miraculous things the Holy Spirit would enable them to do. That would be some of the evidence of their vine and branches, much fruit-bearing relationship, which Jesus had taught them about in the upper room, John 15. Third, Jesus had told his disciples that the Holy Spirit would enable them to remember what Jesus had taught them, so they could teach others and also write down for future generations what Jesus had done. The religious leaders who had arrested and condemned Jesus to death, and then arrested Peter and John and warned them to stop speaking about Jesus, now found themselves backed into a corner by this spiritual tsunami led by these apostles. Obviously, neither their killing of Jesus nor their threats to Peter and John were slowing this great spiritual awakening in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 5 describes a remarkable turn of events. The Sanhedrin religious leaders arrested all the apostles and put them in jail. But during the night, an angel from heaven came to Jerusalem and led the apostles out of the jail and instructed them, "Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life." Acts 5, verse 20. The next morning, as the Sanhedrin met to interrogate the apostles and sent for them to be brought from the jail, stunned officials came back to report, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened the doors, we found no one inside." Acts 5:23. And then suddenly, someone burst into the room to report that the apostles were fearlessly in the temple courts area, preaching boldly to the crowds which were gathering. Now that, my friends, is a God-induced jailbreak. Do you see the power of the Holy Spirit of God being demonstrated all over Jerusalem in a wide array of different ways? Do you see God defeating the opposition to Jesus and awakening an insatiable spiritual thirst to know God and experience his life-changing work? We need to pause right here to give our minds and hearts time to understand and embrace what God was doing in Jerusalem and ask ourselves if we see it happening in our day, anywhere in the world, and if not, why not? So I urge you to read Acts chapter 5. Tomorrow we'll look at what the Sanhedrin did to try and stop it and what God did to keep it going. And I'll be getting ready to meet you here again this weekend.